So my dad was one of those, I guess, it is an idea of an alpha, now that I know what that is. He was an alpha male, you know, but very sort of understated in the sense of he's someone who didn't need to assert his dominance.
Around the turn of the century, Kenyan journalist Oyunga Apah was a controversial columnist. His Man Talk columns gave him the reputation of a male chauvinist. 20 years later, he finds himself a very different man, one his male followers from those days might not have understood. As the trains to Central Station are passing by, he talks about his life's journey that brought him to Amsterdam.
So I was born in Kisumu in the early 70s. My dad was a hospital administrator, so he moved to Nairobi by 1979, and since then, literally, I became a Nairobi resident. So Nairobi largely is where I grew up, but home for me as an African has always been my home village. So one of the things he used to say about walking the village back in the days when there was no electricity was says a man never walks without a stick in his hand, right? Just in case anything comes to you. And so he really reinforced the idea of being a defender of the property, right? That you were the first line of defense. That's why a family had boys. My mother would say that there are no girls in this house. There'll be sort of very traditional roles of where girls would be in the kitchen and boys would be doing other sort of herding cows or something of the sort. We just didn't have that distinction. We did all the sort of domestic chores, but we also worked out of the house. So there's sort of like those chauvinistic tendencies that I came to encounter later, that funny enough was associated with me for the longest time. And I'm like, you don't know my family. That is the least of how I see the world. Yeah. So at the University of Nairobi, I was doing a bachelor's degree in anthropology. So the frame of anthropology was completely a colonial frame. So it was completely warped. So I come up with this degree and I have no idea what to do with it. So I put together one of those typical boyish stories, you know, boys go out, this is what we do on a Saturday night kind of thing. And at the time I'm just writing sort of satirical, humorous stuff, you know, it's very sort of Two and a Half Men kind of male bravado kind of. At the time we're modeling our African masculinity because of our colonial British heritage as gentlemen. So we seek to be gentlemen in sort of in the vein of the chivalry of the day. You know, so opening doors, bringing roses. It's a very sort of European, framing of masculinity. Because we tended to look at our own histories as post-colonial states, which as you know, for somebody like me coming from Kenya, is a very recent history, just 50 or so years. Yet my own ancestry dates back millennia. We are not our fathers, so we're not sort of Neanderthal traditionalists, but at the same time, we're not white men. So we are something in between that you guys are trying to force us to become that we are not. So that became sort of like my argument. The column starts to gain traction. But then slowly by slowly, as I start to get more criticism towards the column, to some degree almost hate mail, I find myself in this very interesting position as a social critic, where the men are saying, what you're saying is making a lot of sense. And the women are saying, you're a chauvinist. So I am forced then to really interrogate, what am I saying? What position am I holding? Trying to infuse some sort of Pan-African ideals within the magazine, but it's a magazine that comes out of South Africa who are not interested in that level of depth, they just want the glamour. And so I resigned from the job, and suddenly I find myself a bit of a pariah because none of the guys really want to work with me because my kind of stuff is just, what am I talking about? No, but like, boss, You know, can we go back to what we know? But what happened? As I said, Jana Kuliandaje, how was the weekend? Tell us those stories, you know. And I just said, I can't keep on selling out. So just about 2010, so in the midst of sort of this confusion, I'm wondering, how do I reinvent myself in the midst of all this? I have an accident and almost a near death on a motorcycle. So by some strange miracle, which is why for me then it becomes a second life experience for me, I only experience flesh wounds, but no other serious injuries. That incident then becomes a trigger for me to really examine the, what am I really doing with my time here in the city? And so I need a place that I can really recover and get to really interrogate where I'm going with my life. And so I go back to the place I really know, which is the village. And I'm spending another 3 or 4 years back in the village, basically as a farmer. This is the story of my love life. So I'm actually convinced I'm not coming back to Nairobi at all. So Dorothy calls me literally in the village, looking for ideas, story ideas. So my wife was running a small TV production company. So that's then what brings me back to Nairobi, because it provides a new challenge, and that's how relationship forms, because we're spending a lot of time together, and I guess we just sort of realize, God, we need each other. When after about 1 year of dating, we decide, let's just get serious, you know, we're not young anymore, you know. And then I was one of those guys who would marry very late in life, so we are both stereotyped. So she's been stereotyped as this very aggressive, bossy woman, and I've been stereotyped as this alpha male. So between us, we understand what it means to be in the public eye. So then Dorothy gets approached to the head of African manager and the head of African originals of Netflix based in Amsterdam. And suddenly as a family, we have to make a decision. It involves the trauma of moving and starting a new life with a 6-month-old baby. So it's going to be terrific for her to really survive at a new job in corporate. You need a partner. So it only made simple, logical sense that I am the one who could let go of 1 or 2 gigs in order to support her. But we said, each one of us must be allowed to pursue their mission in life. There's going to be times when one of us has to sacrifice for the other. The way we were socialized is just warped, because we are socialized to compete. I can see the gender.
Yeah.
You know, so it's for, like an African setup, at least in a Kenyan setup. So in fact, for me now, even the whole idea of manhood is evaporated. It's no longer an ideal anymore. What for me becomes the ideal is just humanity. Because in a marriage, you start to realize that what a marriage basically works at is just basically union. I'm always seeking harmony. So I'm saying, no matter how you're journeying through life, always come back to the space of harmony.